This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Football Friday with Joey Harrington. This will be our second to last Football Friday. Did you know that?
Hot Pro Bowl talk, I hope.
Yeah, Pro Bowl. Break it down.
Wait,
go.
Okay, this always gets me. You do this every year. You say this is the last or the second to last. But you say Football Friday. But I think of it like the last show of the year. But no, then we just switch to like story time and random garbage.
Correct.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
So kind of like the content of the show for the for you like during the rest of the week.
Correct.
When I'm not on. Right?
That's right.
Gotcha.
It's the same thing. It's just branded differently. It's like when they run a sale and it's not really a sale, but we have to call it that. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's just a repackaging. Keep it fresh and exciting.
Oftentimes football gets in the way, you know?
Football gets in the way of fun. That's kind of why I retired. You
know? Right.
I retired because I wasn't any good and no one wanted me to play anymore, but...
Well, that was in the script, though.
That was scripted.
When you got the script, were you upset that you didn't have more success in Detroit?
Well, you know, sometimes you just have to take one for the team.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I am doing this for the overall financial value of the Cowboys and Bears organizations, because really, you know, Jerry Jones does not have enough money. I was happy to do that. It was, you know, it was for the kids.
It's called team player right there.
Script.
Mm-hmm. Propping up the organization.
Yep.
Can you believe people think that?
I somewhat half heard. I didn't even, it was so asinine that I didn't even follow up to read it. Did Arian Foster, did he really actually say
no.
that?
No,
or was it like some joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
They were trolling. Okay. They were like, look how dumb people are. Like, we're going to say this. And they said it, like, on the podcast. They're like, you know, they told people, hey, this is a joke. Said it anyways. The clip, like, circulates around. And, of course, you know, the people that believe that it was scripted, you know, bought into it. Like, oh, absolutely. And then a bunch of NFL players, current players, caught onto it. And they started chiming in too, being like, yeah, like when I got my script, and before you know it, you know, there's a bunch of morons out there that actually believe, you know, that believe that.
You got to love morons.
I don't think you do.
Well, the world's full of them now. And unfortunately, with the information that's so readily available, that's the problem is, it's like we've never been, more information has never been available. And you would think that would make you smarter. And in actuality, I think it kind of makes you dumber.
I concur 100%.
Well, you don't have to know anything anymore. It used to be you would have to seek out information. You'd have to seek it out and learn something.
Yeah, well, and you had to rely on somebody who was an expert.
Yeah.
Right, who actually was an expert. Like, hey, I have a PhD in X, or I've spent 20 years studying X. Now you can just say, well, you know, I read on the internet, and therefore I know as much as you do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
100% is that we have now taken experts and we don't want to believe them. I have a buddy of mine that's a doctor, and he said it's the most infuriating thing in the world that he has people come into his office and tell them what is wrong with them. And he's like, well, no, that's not what's wrong with you. And they're like, yes, it is. I read blah, 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 or I know so-and-so. And he's like, well, here's some test results. Or this is why.
Cool. You go do you.
Yeah.
And call me when you're dead.
And people will dig in their heels and just say, that's not what's wrong with me. And, you know, screw medical school and all that. It's like, hey, man, I read on WebMD.
Following the life and times of Joey Harrington on social media, were you playing piano at a signing day function?
I hosted the Oregon football signing day event on Wednesday evening. I did. And part of that, so it was Signing Night Live, right? Our own version of SNL.
Okay.
And as part of that, I had to write and perform a monologue.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Well, improv style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It, I'm not going to lie. I think it went over pretty well. I'm not going to say, hey, I killed it. But I was happy with the way the performance went.
How long was it?
I'm going to guess five, 10 minutes,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little bit of a, you know, I won't say stand up, but you know, a few off the cuff kind of stuff, a little bit of scripted stuff. And then there was a video of Rob Mullins, which was hilarious, and he did a fantastic job. And then we kind of transitioned into, boy, that was just really inspiring. I wish there was a piano around because I just want to sing a song. And bing, there goes the spotlight, and, you know, off we go.
That's amazing. Do you get nervous for stuff like that?
Not anymore. It's actually kind of fun. Because here's the thing. I've gotten beyond the point where I worry about what people think.
Right. That's a key.
And honestly, like, that is the key. It's the irony of this whole thing is in order to relax and be yourself and do well, you have to be able to make fun of yourself a little bit and not worry about what people think of you. Right. But if you're worried about what people think, then you're tight and you're not funny. It's the same as playing was my playing career, right? It was like, you know, I went in there in Detroit and I remember having this, this conversation with, you know, I don't think he was I guess you'd call him a therapist, sports psychologist, where it was like, look, I'm trying so hard to play well for you that I am just so uptight that it affects my performance. And it wasn't until I stopped actually caring what you thought about me. And I say you, teammates, fans, the city of Detroit. It wasn't until I actually stopped caring about that that I start playing well, right? Once I was able to let go of that tension, let go of that care, well, then I was actually able to play well. And by that time, everybody hated me, and so I just got traded anyway. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes.
So a little late, but yes, not caring what people think unlocks a lot of things in the world.
Well, I relate to that, just like what you were talking about playing, and that I always played really well against backups, and I even played well against, like, marginal starters, and those guys never worried me. But when I played against, like, Pro Bowlers or, you know, guys that were really good, I would get so nervous. I would do stuff that was that I would never in my right mind do. Like, you'd be watching film and they're like, why did you do that? And you're like, oh, like, nothing in there is like in any sort of technique that I've ever learned, that I've ever known. And you would think that when you played against much better people, you would be more technical, right? That you would go to what you know works. No, I went to some Johnny high school crap that I would never do in a million years. And it was because I would get nervous in my mind. I'd look across and be like, well, that's, you know, that's Warren Sapp. You know, that's Dana Stubblefield. And I'm like, well, what? And then next thing you know, your head is planted squarely in your cheeks. That the mental side of things and being able to relax is such an underappreciated component of trying to play at a high level.
And I love when people say, you know, oh, I could have done that, or why didn't he do that, right? Okay, so let me put 20 pounds of gear on you, eliminate, significantly hamper your sight lines, then put a 350-pound human across from you who can literally, and I've watched Sean Rogers at 350 catch an alley-oop and throw down a reverse dunk, who is one of the best athletes that you've ever met, who is going to physically harm you, and now I want you to perform using these mental tech, you know, these things that you have learned, and I want you to recall them in a span of about 2.1 seconds. Go, oh, too late, you're injured.
Yeah, but on that note, shouldn't Joseph Asai, shouldn't he just be able to pull up? I mean,
why'd you touch the quarterback,
man? That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, it was. And it was just, that is literally one of those moments where you just, you brain fart, yeah. You know, like you, And of course, you have to fault him. Like there, like you, it is his fault. He did it. You know, and I say that because you can't fault a guy for his effort, right? Like, if it was, and I know I'm sitting here and saying this removed, having no vested interest in this game, and feeling sorry for the kid because I know how much it meant to him. So this is different than, you know, I say you have to feel sorry for him, and then I think, well, I'm sure there's a lot of people in Cincinnati who don't feel sorry for him. You got to pull up. You have to. You can't touch him. And there is no, you know, back to the old scripted thing. You know, there was no conspiracy. There was no referee screwing that one up. He was a full two steps out of bounds, and you pushed him. And those are the kind of mistakes, literally the kind of mistakes that coaches talk about in pregame, postgame interviews. Like that's the one penalty. That's the one turnover. That's the one, like, because that's the difference in the NFL and why there are so many one possession games. Like, you don't see blowouts in the NFL like you do in college football, right? There are the haves and the have nots in college football. When in the NFL, everybody is a have. Right. So it is truly that one brain fart, that one interception, that one mistake that determines the outcome of the game. And unfortunately, that was it.
Well, and you think about, like, you know, so the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. I mean, had that not happened, it probably goes to overtime 99%.
Right.
Right. But right. Like, say they lose that game, but then you go back and you look at D4 jumping off sides and Kansas City doesn't go to a Super Bowl and Tom Brady does. And, you know, it's why I say winning Super Bowls are saying, hey, this guy's going to win 3 or 4. Or this guy's going to win. There is just so many weird little components that go into even getting to a Super Bowl, let alone winning one, that just goes to show you how free, even with a guy as talented as Mahomes and as good as the Chiefs are, just how truly difficult it is to get there. I mean, even the Bills game last year would have 17 seconds, right? It's just, there's a million little things to go into the getting that, and which is why when you get there, appreciate it, because there is zero guarantee, no matter how good you are, that you're going to get back. Because next time, it may be your guy shoving someone out of bounds, and you as a quarterback had nothing to do with that.
Well, when I get there.
The unfortunate part, when you get there, tell me what it's like, because, you know, I never even saw the playoffs.
I will
but
appreciate
the unfortunate
it.
Thing is Asai, what people don't see or don't bother to go back and see is he literally made the play, the two previous plays.
Yeah.
Like, he was the one that put him into third down on that. Like, had a beautiful tackle in the backfield, and then as Patrick Mahomes was stepping up, he was the one to get in. Like, the things that he did throughout the course of the game to even put his team in that position, and the things that he did specifically on that drive to put the team in that position. I mean, he played so well, other than that one mistake, and that's the unfortunate part.
On the other side, if you had hung around a little bit in the NFL a little longer, maybe you and you were in San Francisco, you would have had a shot at a Super Bowl there.
Started.
All I would have had to do is hold on for another, you know, a good 22 years, and I could have been the start of that.
Have you ever seen a quarterback situation that bad?
No, I haven't. It's beyond ridiculous. And my, obviously, you're so frustrated for Brock as a person, right? Like, he was literally staring the opportunity of a lifetime in the face, and to have something like that happen is beyond cruel. But from a personal, like, you know, fan perspective, I was disappointed I didn't get to see the game. Like,
game
that we wanted to see. Like, this would have been the opportunity to see if Brock Purdy, like, even with as well as he played, like, you can sit there and say Brock Purdy, and this is fact, the 49ers won because of Brock Purdy in many cases this year, not in spite of him, right? This was the talk when he was coming in, like, okay, like, you're still going to be able to win because your defense is so good and Kyle Shanahan's so brilliant. But Purdy went in and played fantastic football. This was the pressure cooker that everybody wanted to see. Like, this would have been the opportunity for him to look. Had he gone out and beaten the Eagles, We talked about this last year, like, or talked about it in years past. I don't see how they could have put Trey Lance back in there, or taken, I should say it better this way, taken Purdy out.
Yeah.
Right? He was playing so well, and I wanted to see him do it in a pressure cooker situation against the Eagles on the road, you know, with all the everything on the line. That would have been kind of one of those Tom Brady launching effects for his career. But instead, he had, I mean, a major injury. And, yeah, then they had to bring the guy from University of San Diego in. I mean, God, I think I played against Josh.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, it's well-traveled.
Man.
Yeah.
All right, let's put a pin in it. And when we come back with Joey Harrington, we will talk about the retirement of Tom Brady. But I also want to get your opinion on how the Ducks are doing recruiting with Lanning, you hosting the big event. So we'll get to those items when we return with our friend Joey Harrington, here brought to you by Mods PDX on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Now, you said you hosted the Ducks recruiting event, and was that in Eugene or Portland?
No, it was in Portland, out at Nike.
Oh, yep. Okay. Number 8 ranked class. What's kind of the scuttle on what Lanning and company are doing in recruiting? It looks like a lot of defense.
It is. And I would be lying to you if I told you I was able to go player by player and, you know, tell you their stats and what they bring to the table, right? Because I think we've talked about I don't care about recruiting. Or I should say, I don't care about hyping up 17-year-old kids and filling their head with nonsense, right? Once they get onto Autzen, once they, you know, move away from mom and doing, you know, someone doing their laundry and, you know, start to figure things out, then, you know, let's have a conversation. But here's what I'll say about Dan Lanning and that whole staff in recruiting. They're really, really good at it. Because they care, because there's a connection, because they understand the value of it. And it's not just the immediate, or I should say the high school kids coming out who are signing letters of intent, but it's also building relationships through this recruiting process. So that a guy like Birch from South Carolina, who Dan, you know, recruited at Georgia, he still has a good relationship with him, right? Like when you are being recruited, at least, you know, when I was being recruited, you could tell the guys who were telling the truth, and you could versus the guys who are just, you know, spinning up a story to get you to get you to hop on a plane and come to their school, right? You could tell the guys who were the phonies. Dan Lanning is not a phony. Dan, like, there's a genuineness to interacting with him. And that helps with immediate recruiting. That helps with sitting in a parent's living room and saying, I'm going to take care of your kids. And that also helps down the road with this new transfer portal to say, you know, that player who may have gone somewhere else and said, hey, you know what, this wasn't the right decision. I want to go back and do this again. Hey, I remember getting recruited by Dan Lanning. I appreciated him. I respected him. He was honest with me. And now you're back in the driver's seat for that player who's potentially going to transfer. Like, that was what I got out of the recruiting event, is that, and I was a bit surprised. Like, The room was filled with Marcus, Hieronis, Sabrina, Jeff Schwartz, Jeremiah Johnson, Dennis Dixon. Like, literally, all of the best
D'Anthony, like all these guys, all the, you know, Verone McKinley, Javon Holland, Kayvon Thibodeau, like all of the players came back for this because they're part of a family, right? They're part of something that they understand is bigger than themselves, and they enjoy being part of that family. And to see how Dan has just so seamlessly fit in and embraced it, and I don't want to say pitched that to the recruits, but like opened that up, opened that door to them. There's nothing phony about him. And that's why I feel so good about this class that he's bringing in, is because he's bringing in the right type of people. And yeah, they got to be talented people. And, you know, awesome that it's the number 8 recruiting class and in the country. You know, I would say, I think we had this conversation a couple times before with Mario's classes. Were a couple of Mario's classes in the top 10? Like, I'm hesitant to really buy in and say, like, oh my gosh, you know, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But what I will say is that the guy who is doing it the right way, and is doing it in a way that is sustainable and is in the best interest of this program and this university. And you got to love him for it.
I mean, all the coaches that we've interacted with at Oregon over the years, you know, and Bilotti was, you know, kind of obviously the gold standards there forever, but then into Chip and Helfrich, and, you know, you go on down the list. And I wouldn't say anyone, well, maybe Willie kind of had a little rub me the wrong way, but Lanning is by far the most engaging and personable. And easily liked. I mean, Helfrich was a super nice guy, but he wasn't a big personality. Lanning gets you. I mean, the first, you know, 2 or 3 times you talk to him, you just kind of get the sense that he's one of those guys that you want to be around, that people want to have conversations with. And they're all good recruiters, but he does come across a bit different, at least in our brief interactions. And can you tell me, why was D'Anthony Thomas wearing some sort of Native American smock? can you give me the lowdown on that?
Okay, so here's what I'll say. I don't know D'Anthony very well, but I had an interesting conversation about his experience in the metaverse and how he is working with virtual reality surgeries in the metaverse and how that is applicable to us as humans.
What?
Yeah, I think that's where the shaman smock comes in. He's, I saw the photo and there was like all the great Oregon running backs and it was like a ridiculous group. And then I saw him and I was like, what is happening there? And I think I have a better understanding now of why the holistic smock came out. Enough said.
Hey,
understand.
Hey, to each their own.
To each their own.
The guy was amazing. He's a fantastic person. But I don't quite, you know, I will say our conversation left me with more questions than answers.
Yeah, I've encountered people like that, and you're just like, well, they're on a different wavelength, and it's not
a... Hey, you do you, man. Hey. You do you.
You think Tom Brady's done for good?
Yeah. Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I'm sad.
Why?
Part of me, God, it's a bigger conversation. Like, and we've talked about this. I don't ever like to see people's personal lives, I don't say fall apart, but there's a toll that football takes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was saying this year, oh, what's going on with him and Mike Evans? You know, he can't, you know, he's missing throws and he's, I saw a report a week or two ago that he, over the course of the season, he lost 15 pounds, right? That I've been in that situation where life is weighing on you so much that it takes a physical toll. And that's what I've been trying to say to people is like, let's not forget that when he took 3 weeks off during training camp, it was because his family was on the brink of divorce. You know, that's not something that anybody takes lightly. And that's not something that anybody, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And to have that experience be his last year
and to see the toll that it took on him, I think personally it makes me sad because he's a good person. You know, our interactions had, you know, had always been, I mean, he didn't need to, you know, Joe Schmo. I mean, he's the GOAT, but he was always so respectful. And then just as a fan too, like, I know he had more in the tank. At least he could go to San Francisco. Had he not had his, you know, the type of year that he did with his personal issues, he would have been able to go to San Francisco, and I think he could have won another Super Bowl. I do. I genuinely believe that. And so it's tough for me as someone who has admired him as a player for so long, to see that come to an end. You know, part of that is, you know, not my own mortality, but like, that's he was kind of like, you know, with the aside from maybe like Mason Crosby, like he was my last connection probably to the NFL. Like he was the last guy where I could say, hey kids, hey Jack Emmett, hey, look at this picture of me getting my butt kicked by Tom Brady. Yep, see, your dad actually did do that. And in a weird way, it's kind of like another way of saying, yeah, like we're all getting older and life is moving on. And for Tom, it never seemed to move on. But, you know, it catches up with everybody, right?
You don't think there's a chance, you know, if his life, you know, changes, gets better, I don't know, he gets in a better space that he, you know, football calls again?
Nah, he's not the kind of guy that's going to do it again. That's not going to, I should say, that's going to unretire again, right? You know, for all the reasons that we'll never know and why he retired and unretired last year, he's not the kind of guy who's going to do it. He's going to unretire a second time. That's, you know, he's got the next chapter that he's moving on to. And you could kind of see, and I think the way that he did it this time, like, hey, I'm done. You know, that there was no, it just sounded different. And I think that there was a sadness that didn't exist last time. Last time it was a bit more robotic,
yeah,
I think.
That's right.
Less personal.
Seems
This time there was a sadness to it. And I think that's maybe why I'm kind of sad, is because you could sense the sadness in his video. You know, the guy that has meant so much. I mean, just truly, I mean, you can have a conversation, you know, of putting a guy like Jerry Rice and, you know, but I don't think that there is anybody who has been greater at their position in the game of football. And to see that come to an end is, yeah, I mean, that's.
Yeah. Well, only 7 titles. I mean, yeah.
10 Super Bowls, though.
Yep.
10 Super Bowls.
It's
he
crazy.
Was literally in the Super Bowl every other year for 2 decades.
We were doing Tom Brady facts yesterday. He never played where they were out of playoff contention ever in his career.
What?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I've played a half a season out of playoff contention.
Well, I was, you know, it was the Lions. I was about to say half a career, but you know, didn't want to be mean. But yeah, no, he even this year, you know, they weren't that good, but they made the playoffs.
Yep.
So
never a snap.
Never one time did he take a snap where they didn't have the playoffs in sight. It's crazy. All right, sir. Great talking to you. Next week we'll get your hot takes on the Super Bowl.
Oh, I got hot takes, all right.
I know you do. That's why we have you on the final Football Friday next week with Joey Harrington. Thank you. We'll talk to you then.
All right. See you guys.
Joey Harrington each Friday here at 5:30 on The Fan is brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Coming up next in the club, Chinese spy balloons.
To shoot or not to shoot?
That's next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.